Amen. Go with me in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. This morning, I want to share with you something the Lord recently has been doing in my heart and has placed in my heart. It's going to be very simple. My prayer is this morning, it's going to be so simple. I'm just praying that the simplicity wouldn't be a stumbling block to us this morning. Because it's something very simple, but at the same time, it's something that has very really impacted my life. I want to talk to you about the Lord loves to be ministered to. The Lord loves to be ministered to. God has a sense of humor, doesn't He? Alright, this is gonna take some grace, but stay with me, not with the crow. The crow doesn't have anything with life to impart today, but the word of the Lord does. Amen. The Lord loves to be ministered to. Just let 1 Samuel 3 sit on your lap and let me just pray. Father, I thank You for what You've been doing in my heart and what You've been doing in my life. And Lord, I thank You how this very simple truth, the impact that it has had upon my life, God. Lord, I thank You, Father. And I'm asking, Lord, that You would help me to speak this word with clarity. Lord, let this be a life-giving word to people here this morning, Father. Father, You love it when Your people minister to You, God. Lord, You take such pleasure in Your people. And You love it when Your people minister to Your heart. So, Father, I commit this message into Your hands. God, speak life today. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. As many of you know, a few weeks ago, I had the opportunity to go with Pastor Carter Collin to a conference in Alabama. And it was a miraculous conference. A miraculous conference. There was such a supernatural unity in that conference that I've never seen before. God was truly uniting His people and building His church. And I know in my heart, I can truthfully say, I will forever be changed by that conference. And what is in my heart to say today is simply this. There's something that I saw there in that conference. And what I saw was simply this. What really struck my heart in that conference was the power, was the life that was in Pastor Carter's word. There was such life in His word. There was such power in His word. There was such anointing in His word. It was truly the words coming out of His mouth that God was using to tear down walls and to begin to rebuild things that just needed to be rebuilt. And as a minister of the gospel, as a minister of the gospel, it put such a hunger in my heart to be a minister whose words possess life, whose words possess the weightiness of Christ, that whenever I speak as a minister of the Lord, my word would truly change people's lives and have an impact upon people's lives. And there was a prayer in that conference that came to my heart, and that prayer is still there today, and that's simply this. Lord, more life. More of the weightiness of Christ in my word, Lord, whenever I minister word. Lord, would You please answer this prayer? God, as a man who's called to speak Your word, God, would You please answer this prayer? And the Lord did answer this prayer. The Lord answered it by showing me something so simple, but yet it really has an impact upon my life, because the Lord has anointed it. And beloved, what I'm about to say to you is so very simple. But yet the Lord was showing me something And in a moment, you'll see where I'm going to go with this. But so the question is, okay, well, Tim, what did the Lord show you? What did the Lord show you? Well, beloved, in those 3 days with Pastor Carter, one of the things that I've noticed is that everywhere he goes, he sings to the Lord. He's always singing to the Lord. Walking down the hotel hallway, singing to the Lord. In the van riding around town, singing to the Lord. And there were times that I heard him under his breath, always talking to the Lord. Lord, I love you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I'm very grateful for what you're doing in my life. And as I was observing this, the Lord spoke something to my heart. He said, Tim, do you know what he's doing? He is continually ministering to my heart. Every song, every intimate whisper, every thank you, Jesus, that comes from a sincerity out of the heart, it ministers to my heart. And again, brothers and sisters, that sounds so very simple. But the Lord began to speak something to me out of it that began to have an impact upon my life. And he brought 1 Samuel chapter 3 before my heart. And there's a couple of scriptures I want to look at in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Look with me at 1 Samuel chapter 3. Look with me at verse 19. Verse 19 says, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him. And did let none of his words fall to the ground. And I'm emphasizing that last part. And did let none of his words fall to the ground. Beloved, do you know what that means? That means in Samuel's word, there was such a heavenly authority. There was such a heavenly weight. This man was called to minister, to speak the word of the Lord. And God honored this man by placing such a heavenly weight, a heavenly authority upon Samuel's word. But here's the question that the Lord brought to my heart. Tim, in Samuel's word, where did this heavenly authority begin? Where did this heavenly weight begin? Look with me at verse 1, 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 1. It says, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord. Stop there. Beloved, let those words ring in your heart. Capture it. Capture the depth of it. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord. When I read those words really struck my heart. They struck my heart. And as I began to just sit in the presence of the Lord and just begin to take it in what God was speaking to me, this is what the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, Tim, live your life to minister to my heart. Every day, let the goal of your life be to minister to my heart. Every day, live your life to minister to my heart. Tim, worship me. Fellowship with me. Speak to me. Sing to me. Live your life to minister to my heart. Live your life knowing that I love you. I love you very deeply. I take pleasure in you. And minister to my heart. And then the Lord brought me back to verse 19. Look at verse 19 again. It says, and Samuel grew. Now I want to emphasize that word grew. This is what the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, Tim, if you will live your life to minister to my heart, you will grow and your word will deepen. You will grow and your word will deepen. And then the Lord spoke this. He said, Tim, ministering to my heart is the secret to an ever-increasing anointing upon your word. Living your life to minister to my heart is the secret to an ever-increasing anointing upon your word. Just knowing that I love you and take pleasure in you and you come to before me and you minister to my heart, that's the secret. And beloved, even now, there's something in my heart that leaps within me. There's a wonderful cry that just comes to my heart that says, yes, God, I understand this. I truly understand this. Ministering to your heart, daily ministering to your heart, is the secret to an ever-increasing anointing. And beloved, when that revelation became alive in me, I felt the joy of God's heart. And even this morning in worship, I felt the joy of God's heart. that this was a revelation that he really wanted me to have. But then the Lord spoke to my heart, and this is what he said. He said, Tim, this doesn't apply just to speaking. It applies to being the priest of your home. It applies to being a father or a mother to your children. This applies to being a light on your job. When you live your life to minister to my heart, there will be an ever-increasing anointing upon everything that you do. Everything. Amen. I'm telling you, this has changed my life. I can honestly say, since I come back from that conference, I have experienced this supernaturally. Supernaturally. What do you mean by that, Pastor Tim? Listen, I've never been one to sing. I'm just not a singer. Never been one to sing. But since I've come back from that conference, I find myself continually singing to the Lord. Walking across the parking lot, grading papers, in the shower. I can't stop myself from singing to the Lord, and I know it's just the Lord supernaturally confirming. Just supernaturally confirming that He loves it when His people minister to Him. Every song, every intimate whisper, every thank you Jesus that comes out of a sincere heart, He loves it all. Now let me say this. For each one of you personally, ministering to the Lord's heart may not involve a lot of singing. It may not involve a lot of talking. The purpose of this message isn't to try and imitate someone. The purpose of this message isn't even trying to get you to imitate this message. It's simply to remind us that when it comes to living a life ministering to the Lord's heart, whatever it involves, He loves it all. He loves it all. He loves our fellowship. He loves our worship. He loves it when we speak to Him. He loves it when we sing to Him. He loves it all. It is a ministry to His heart. And that is the secret to an ever-increasing anointing upon everything that we do for the Lord. Now, I have to go on and tell you the rest of it. Tell you the rest of it. Never before have I been fighting an oppression from the enemy like I've been fighting in the last couple of weeks. There's been such an oppression of the enemy that has come against my life. But I know what it's all about. See, the Lord has spoken to my heart and He's saying, Tim, the reason why the enemy is coming so strong with oppression is because he does not want you to get this revelation. And he does not want you to walk out this revelation. But Tim, in spite of the oppression, I'm telling you to sing anyway. I'm telling you to talk to me anyway. I'm telling you to thank me anyway. Because there's a breakthrough that's coming. Tim, you're about to step into a new area of freedom, a new area of joy that you've never had in the Lord. And I want to tell you something. I sense it in my heart. And that's why the oppressor has come. And the Lord says, in spite of it, sing anyway. Talk anyway. Because there is a breakthrough that's coming. And the Lord put upon my heart the children of Israel. I want you to go with me to Exodus chapter 5. I want to show you something in Exodus chapter 5. Start with verse 1. It says, and afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told the Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh says, who is the Lord that I should obey the voice, his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. And they said, the God of the Hebrews had met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days journey into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. And the king of Egypt said unto them, wherefore do ye Moses and Aaron let the people from their work? Get you under your burdens. And Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land now are many, and ye make them rest from their burdens. And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, you shall not give the people straw to make brick as hereto, Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And the tally of the bricks which they make herefore, you shall lay upon them. You shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let their more work be laid upon the men, that they may labor therein. And let them not regard vain words. Beloved, here's my point with this scripture. Any time in your heart you sense the Lord is about to bring you to a greater place of joy, a greater place of freedom, a greater place of liberty, any time you begin to sense in your heart that God is about to do something miraculous and you're about to step into a freedom and a joy that you've never known before, this is always going to happen. This is always going to happen. Suddenly the oppressor is going to come. And he's going to bring oppression like you've never faced it before. And it's simply because he's afraid. He's afraid of the Lord liberating you in places, certain places of your life that he's always had a hold on. He's afraid of people being set free in areas of their life because, as we have heard, listen, a people who are free in heart are free to serve the Lord. He's afraid of that. So he comes with an oppression, with such an oppression because he is afraid that he's about to lose an area in our life that he's been having a hold on for a long time. So in other words, brothers and sisters, this is what I'm saying. When suddenly we begin to sense that God is about to set us free, bring us into a greater place of liberty, it should not surprise us when suddenly we face oppression like we've never faced it before. It should not surprise us. Because it is the enemy coming saying, I will not let go. You will build bricks without straw. You know, some time ago, the Lord put upon my heart a sermon called Why Lions Roar. The Bible says that the enemy, Satan, is like a roaring lion who comes to devour. And the Bible, you know, reveals him as a roaring lion. And the Lord spoke to my heart one time in prayer. And he said, Tim, tell me, why do lions roar? So I had to think about it for a moment. I knew this was a divine time with God. So I said, honestly, Lord, I don't know the answer you are looking for. And the Lord spoke to my heart and he said, Tim, I want you to find out why lions roar and find out why they roar the loudest. So I went on the internet. I looked up why lions roar. I looked at the lion experts who's been working with lions. And this is what they revealed. They said, lions roar the loudest when an intruder comes into their territory and they feel threatened, afraid, and endangered. Lions also roar the loudest when they have taken a prey in hunting and another predator stronger than they comes to take that prey away. So according to experts that have studied lions for years, lions roar the loudest when they feel threatened and afraid. And when it senses it's about to lose its captive to something stronger than it is. Beloved, that speaks volumes to me. The reason why the roar of the enemy is so vicious against your thoughts. Maybe you're here today and the roar of the enemy in your mind and his lies and his oppression seems louder than it's ever been before. The reason why it's so loud is because he's afraid he's about to lose his captive. He's afraid that he's about to lose an area in your life that he's had such a hold on. And another interesting fact I found out about lions is that when they are afraid, they can roar so loud it's heard 7 miles away. That's loud. So the question this morning is the lies of the enemy, is the roaring of the enemy so loud against your mind it seems deafening at times? Well, God is here with a word in my heart to encourage you, and that is, do not cast your confidence away in the Lord. So many people, right when they're on the verge of stepping into a place of liberty, a larger place of freedom, a larger place of joy, right on the verge of God bringing them into that place, they cast their confidence away in the Lord because the lies and the oppression are so loud against their mind. But God is here to tell someone this morning, listen, it may seem the lies of the enemy and the roar of the enemy may seem very loud at times, but it's simply because he's afraid. I'm about to do something phenomenal in your life. Amen. Amen. Phenomenal. So it all comes down to this question. When we sense in our heart the Lord is getting ready to bring us into such a greater place of freedom, and then the oppressor comes with such oppression, what do we do? Here's what we do, and we've been hearing it. What do we do? We wait and hope. I didn't say wait and hope. I said we wait in hope. In other words, we don't wait in discouragement. We don't wait with our spirits bound up in unbelief. We wait with an expectation in our heart that God is about to do something phenomenal in my life. And that's why the oppressor has come with such an oppression. We wait in hope. I want to show you something that I think is very powerful. I think it's something that we need to understand because it comes right from the Word. I want you to look with me at Exodus chapter 5. And I want you to look with me at verse 22. Verse 22. It says, and Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people. Neither hast thou delivered the people at all. Chapter 6. Then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of this land. In other words, this is what the Lord said. Not letting my people go, and in fact making their oppression even worse, was all part of my plan. It was all part of my plan because it gives me the opportunity to show Pharaoh my power in my people like he has never seen it before. It was all part of my plan. For this reason, it says in Exodus, have I raised you up, Pharaoh, to show my power and strength to you? Listen, hear me. Here's where I'm going. If you sense in your heart the Lord is about to bring you into a higher level, a greater freedom, a place of joy that you've never walked in, but suddenly the enemy comes with such an oppression, I'm telling you by the authority of the Word, shouldn't surprise you, it's all part of God's plan. It's part of His plan. Why? Because He's about to show the devil. He's about to show the enemy His strength in your life, like the enemy has never seen it in your life. Did you catch that? It's because God now has an opportunity to show His strength in your life to the enemy, like the enemy has never seen it before in your life. So how do we wait? Do we wait coming to church with a frown on our face? I'm just going to speak my heart now. Do we wait in discouragement? It would be easy to do so, and we could even justify that. Do we wait with our spirits bound up by unbelief? No. We wait in hope. God's about to do something phenomenal in our life. We do not cast our confidence away in the Lord. We wait in courage. And I like what I heard Pastor Teresa say. You wait in the presence of the Lord until He formulates a Holy Ghost prayer in your gut. You may be facing the enemy like you've never faced, but if you will wait in hope, the Holy Spirit will come and formulate a prayer in your heart, and you'll find a prayer coming out of your heart, and you will see God do something phenomenal in His time and in His way. Beloved, we wait in hope. So I've been sensing it in my heart. I've even tasted it. I've tasted a place in God I've never had before. I've tasted a freedom in God I've never had before. I've tasted a joy in God I've never had before. But now the oppressor has come. And let me tell you something. I'm fighting him tooth and nail. But God's put something in my heart. Tim, it's part of my plan. I'm about to show the enemy my strength in your life like he's never seen it before in your life. Wait in hope. So Tim, you keep singing anyway. You keep whispering, thank you, Jesus, with all your heart anyway. Because every whisper, every song, every moment with you ministers to my heart. And Tim, I'm telling you, that is the secret to an ever-increasing anointing upon everything that you do. Amen. Stand with me this morning.